Northern Colorado never stops. Neither do we. This is NoCo Now, presented by the Chainine Agencies. Here's Tanner Schwint.
Welcome back in, hour number two here on NoCo Now. Thanks, everybody, for being with us. Let's see here. We'll get to your text here in just a second. I'm a little confused by that text. Check that out, Angel, and see if that makes any sense to you. But joining us now up on the hotline, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest. It is the owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square. It is Chad Young. Chad, we're talking about the great resignation and why it's happening. I know you've seen it in the restaurant industry. Why do you believe it's happening?
You know, I think people are just got a taste of staying at home and rethink priorities and decided to make some changes.
Well, and it's interesting. I mean, that's what I was talking about earlier with so many different social media sites now. I think you see more people trying to be social media influencers rather than grinding and working a 9-to-5. And a lot of them are maybe failing at being social media influencers.
Yeah, not everybody can be social media famous, I guess.
It just doesn't make any sense to me, Chad. You know, the options that we put out there today, you know, what's the main reason? You hear some people say it's a lack of pay from employer. Is it a desire for change? Is it an increased unemployment money? Or is it unwillingness to work? What would you say is the biggest one there, Chad?
Well, you know, I hate to say it, but I think unwillingness to work is the biggest thing we've seen. You know, we're having people come in and apply and then, you know, not even show up for interviews and not even show up for training. So that's got to be it for me.
Yeah, that's exactly where I went as well. I think that the unwillingness to work is there. And it's a vicious cycle for small business owners right now.
Yeah, it's really tough. You know, it's most of us are running, you know, thin line employee or staffing as it is. And you know, I know for me anyway, if one person calls in sick or one person needs extra time off, you know, that just makes it even tougher on us.
Yeah, and Chad, you know, I mentioned this earlier that restaurants specifically, but many businesses, they felt the impact, right? They lost money in 2020. You know, 2021 was still weird. So they're not able to pay, you know, maybe what some of the big box stores, the chain restaurants are able to pay. Employees see that everybody's hiring right now, and they're taking risk. You know, if they're worried about the COVID-19 virus, if they're worried about this, they can jump around. And it's just a vicious cycle how do we break out of it?
You know, it's not going to last forever. I can't imagine that people are going to keep hiring. You know, and I agree. I think people are jumping, you know, from one restaurant or one business to another to find that higher wage. But eventually, you know, those jobs are going to run out and you're going to have find something. Or, you know, their willingness to not work is going to burn bridges with all those higher paying jobs, and they're going to have to take something somewhere else.
Yeah, it's so interesting. And I know that your industry, Chad, has been hit maybe hardest from it. And then you factor in the fact that, you know, 1 in 4 people in Colorado right now are infected with COVID, and it's just the perfect storm all over again.
It really is. I mean, you know, we're dealing with some of that here right now. We've had a couple servers, you know, have to call out because of COVID. We've had a cook. And like I said, we're already running with a thin staff anyway, so it's just making it really tough right now.
Talking with Chad Young, owner of the Tavern at St. Michael's Square, about this great resignation that we're seeing across the country. I've been curious about this as well, because when the CDC changed the guidelines to from a 10-day quarantine to a 5-day quarantine, are you seeing a benefit of that, of getting those employees back quicker?
Definitely, because most of them that we've had are college students, and the symptoms are super mild or they're even asymptomatic. They just went and tested because of exposure, or maybe because the school needed them to test. So it's definitely helping them, getting them back sooner, you know, because 1 week compared to 2 weeks makes it a little easier on us for scheduling, for sure.
Yeah, it's certainly, I could certainly see how that would absolutely make an impact. But I was curious because that decision was met with, maybe some criticism. But from the business standpoint, I think it was applauded by a lot of folks.
Yeah, I agree. And I can see some people having reservations about it. And, you know, I think this is just an ever-changing situation. I think as a business owner, we just kind of have to roll with the punches and, take the good with the bad.
So, Chad, what have you done on your end to try and combat this great resignation? What have you done to try and keep some of those great, some of those great employees that you have with limited ability to increase pay?
You know, one of the latest things we've just did is we closed down a little extra over Christmas and the New Year's holiday to give those people that are stuck with us a little extra rest. Because they've been working super hard, especially over the holiday. It's a busy time in the restaurant industry. So yeah. We gave them a little extra time off to get rest and recuperate and spend some time with their families. Other than that, you know, we keep trying new things. It's, you know, we're paying a little bit more. We're running with a little bit fewer servers than we normally would in a perfect situation. So those people get a little extra tip money, and that helps them out too. So, you know, we're always trying something new and trying to figure out what we can do to keep the good employees.
Now, on your Facebook page at the Tavern at St. Michael's Square, I've been seeing, I know you had a gingerbread house competition. Are those team bonding things something that you're trying to do a little bit more of as well?
Yeah, and that's something we always kind of did. We're trying to build, a good atmosphere and a good camaraderie along with our employees, just so they're more apt to stick around and follow, you know, what we're trying to do if they're engaged and bonded with everybody they work with.
Yeah, I love that aspect, and I think that's something that more and more people are going to continue to add and adapt to. Chad, from your end again, how do you see us breaking out of this COVID world? I know that's a loaded question. It's a billion-dollar question there, right? But do you see a time where, okay, if you had a little bit of a cold or you had some mild things, but you could normally do your job well and you weren't incredibly sick, or even if it is COVID, you're still coming to work like we handled the cold and the flu?
Right. I wish I had a good answer for that, but, you know, maybe it is. Maybe if you're sick, you voluntarily mask up or take extra precautions and still are able to come in. It's going to take somebody setting those guidelines and them being, universal, so everybody's following the same rules to get us to some sense of normalcy.
Well, after that heavy conversation, Chad, is it too early to start on Wine and Whiskey Wednesday?
Not at all. I started about 7 o'clock. No, I'm just kidding.
Wine and Whiskey Wednesday today, of course. You got your bottomless mimosas. One thing that I've been curious about, we're driving around town and kind of seeing some of the restaurants in the new year. Normally, this is the time where people are starting resolutions, things like that. Have you guys still been relatively busy, or is this kind of that little slump that we normally see?
You know, it's a little too early to say completely, but it's been okay the last few days for sure. Generally, January is a slower time, and I think a big chunk of that is resolutions, and a lot of people do the dry January thing, which isn't good for bar businesses. So if you want to support your bars, don't do dry January.
I like that. I like that.
But, you know, it hasn't been too bad so far, so we're definitely optimistic to have a good month.
No, I think that's awesome to hear. And, you know, one of the things I certainly overindulged in the holiday months there, November and December. And, well, you know, one of the things that I've always appreciated about your restaurant, I limit my carbs. So you come in, order the Colorado burger and just say, yeah, no bun with that. And you guys are more than willing to accommodate things like that.
Absolutely. And I think you'll find most restaurants this time of year when they plan specials and menu things, they try and take those resolutions in mind. We all know that in January people are going to try to eat differently than they did in December. So, you know, you'll see more healthy options, I think, on a lot of menus for their specials and things. So that's definitely something we try to do here.
All right, Chad, I appreciate your time. Thanks for, I know you got to get back to work because of the staffing shortages that you're experiencing right now, but I will let you get going here, man. I appreciate your insight, and thanks for jumping on.
You bet, Tanner. Always a pleasure.
Thanks. That's Chad Young, owner of the tavern at St. Michael's Square. Appreciate his insight there, talking about this great resignation. And I think when you talk to most business owners, that's going to be where it is. It's the unwillingness to work by people. They're not willing to get in there and get their hands dirty. What are your thoughts? 888-530-0043, 888-530-0043. Holyoke text in Zelda. Do you have any ideas on that? Is that a musician that you played?
My computer's down, but Zelda, as far as I know, is like The Legend of Zelda. It's a
right.
video game.
Right, I remember that, but were we talking about?
I don't think so.
Zelda?
Technically, Zelda isn't even the character. It's Zelda's the princess, and Link is the actual character you play as.
Okay.
So, a little nerd fact for you.
I like that. Holyoke, what do you mean? What did you mean by Zelda? Let us know. 888-530-0043. Let's get a break. We'll come back on the other side. The next Japanese variant. That's what he was talking about. All right. Okay. All right.
I like that.
There it is. All right. Thanks. A little slow, but we got there eventually. Thanks, Holyoke. 10:16 the time. Let's get a break. We'll come back. CSU with a big win last night. We'll break it down on NoCo Now next. Can't win them all if you don't win the first one. CSU got the first Mountain West win. Conference play started last night for the Rams, as they defeat the Air Force Falcons 67-59 last night. After a month delay, I was curious to see how it was going to go down, and it was actually kind of exactly with how I thought it was going to be. It was going to be low scoring. Rams still put up 67, but it took the depth of the team to get this done. And David, and a big double-double by David Roddy. He had 13 points and 12 boards. Isaiah Stevens with 15 points as well. He led the way in the scoring department. But, you know, the Rams shot 40% from the field. You figured that was going to be the case with a month delay. They weren't going to have the sharpest shooting, 30% from the three-point line. But it was enough, as this team just is so deep that I find it hard. They limited the turnovers, only 6 turnovers for CSU while forcing 14 from Air Force. Air Force is no slouch. They've got a lot of young talent on that team, and they were actually missing 3 of their key guys as well going into this. But CSU stays undefeated, 11-0, 1-0 in conference play. They are supposed to take on Boise State on Friday. It doesn't look like that game is going to happen. Doesn't look like it's going to happen because of Boise State being in COVID protocols. CSU is going to be looking hard to try and find a non-conference opponent to get scheduled and play. But, man, is it fun to have a top 20 team in the nation right here in our backyard? It's incredible to me how deep and how good this team is. I mean, everybody chipped in outside of Roddy and Stevens, who you know is going to kind of lead the way. There's normally one other guy that jumps up. Well, it took everybody 5 points here, 6 points here, but they found a way to get it done. I can't wait for March Madness. I think CSU is going to shock some teams. I know they've got some respect, right? I mean, so much so that the line was 19.5 in favor of the Rams last night. I didn't see a way that they were going to cover that coming off a month-long delay. But you don't need style points. You need victories. And that's what they got last night. They got another victory. They are looking really good. UNC Bears looked really good against Southern Utah. Where are they at? We're going to be talking with head coach of the UNC Bears, Steve Smiley, tomorrow morning. College basketball is good. Those two teams, really, CSU and UNC right now, that's where it's at. In the association last night, the Denver Nuggets lost to the Dallas Mavericks 103-89. Nikola Jokic, 27 points, 16 boards as well, but it wasn't enough. Has Luka Doncic been a little quieter this year? But 21 points, 8 rebounds, 15 assists for Luka Doncic, a plus 25 in the plus-minus category. Yeah, that'll work every single time. The Mavericks kind of have the Nuggets number right now. The Mavericks are 19-18 now, and the Nuggets are 18-17. So could that be a potential matchup? You certainly hope not. Couple things for me from this game. Turnover battle, obviously you always look there. Will Barton himself nearly had as many turnovers as the Dallas Mavericks' entire team did. I can't stand Will Barton. I've been on record of saying that. Aaron Gordon had 15 points, 7 boards, 2 assists. But, you know, you get a guy like Austin Rivers who has 19 minutes of playing time and he's got 0 points. That's an issue. That's an issue. The Nuggets just didn't have the depth last night. Bones Highland continues to look good. Couldn't stay out of foul trouble, though. 7 points for him, 6 boards. I don't think it's panic time. I don't think it's panic time for the Denver Nuggets, but is it cause for concern? Yeah. But for this team, you just got to get into the playoffs. That's all you have to do. I think once you get Jamal Murray back, you're going to be okay. You're going to start rolling back into the ways that we've seen the Denver Nuggets roll at, especially the way Nikola Jokic is playing this year. The other thing that you need to be a little bit of concerned about when it comes to the playoffs and this Nuggets team making a run is fatigue with the Joker. I mean, he has a lot on his plate right now, and I think Michael Malone's doing a pretty good job at handling that, but it's still a cause for concern. Right now, the Denver Nuggets sitting in the number 5 spot. 18-17. They're tied actually with the Dallas Mavericks, who sit at number 6 right now. The Nuggets, they're behind the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant. I want to go on record too, and I want to go back and find this clip. I said from the beginning that Ja Morant was going to be a better NBA player than Zion Williamson was, and it's looking like that. I got one of those right pretty aggressively. Ja Morant has been phenomenal. So the Grizz are in the 4 spot. The Utah Jazz sitting at number 3. They're a solid team. Phoenix Suns sitting at number 2, and the Golden State Warriors back on top in the Western Conference. The other teams who make up this the postseason as it sits today on January 5th, the Lakers are in the 7th spot. I don't think anybody's incredibly worried about the Lakers. The Clippers are in the 8th spot, Timberwolves in 9, and the Kings in 10. Of course, those 4 teams that I just mentioned there, they would be in that playoff where they've got to win a couple of games to get in to get into the top 8. The NBA is going to be a crazy stretch run right now. Can the Nuggets stay in the thick of it? I think you want to try and get that 4 or 5 spot. Ideally, the 4 spot. But it's going to take one hell of a run from this team to get there and to get to reel in the Memphis Grizzlies. On the ice last night, the Colorado Avalanche played one of, if not the best goal I have ever seen in my life, scored by Cale Makar. I'm no hockey expert, thus I don't talk about it a whole lot. But that goal he scored to win it in overtime against the Chicago Blackhawks was ridiculous. The puck gets dropped off to him. He goes back around behind the net, comes back up. Looks like he's just going to pass it off. He put a juke move. I mean, he stopped on that ice like nothing. Turns back around, nice little shot in. Cale Makar, man, it was incredible. And the Avs get the win 4-3 over the Chicago Blackhawks last night in overtime. They sit at 19-8 right now. And can they, you know, they're putting up, if they score under four goals a game, it's strange. It's bizarre because they have been averaging about that lately. The Avs currently with 40 points. They sit in third in the Central Division standings, but still the odds-on favorite to go and win the Stanley Cup this year. They're 19-8 so far. They're sitting in the third spot in the Western Conference. That's your look at sports. Like I said, it was my takeaway from last night, though, was CSU. They had the odds stacked against them, and they found a way to go and get it done. Futurity First Insurance Group, that's Doug O'Connell and Jay Schmidt. They've been doing it in Northern Colorado for 35 years. What have they been doing? Well, they've been making sure that you've got a retirement plan in place. You got yourself protected on the insurance front and your money. Protect your money. That's a lesson that the younger kids could use as well. Futurity First Insurance Group, that's Doug O'Connell and Jay Schmidt. When do you need to pull out the Social Security funds? They'll put that plan in place for you. 10:29 the time when we come back on the other side. Mark Knutson joins us, former Major League pitcher, author of The Inside Pitch. But first, the bottom of the hour news and Weather Center. You know, you get one right every once in a while, like I just was talking about with the Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. I mean, I wasn't the only one to say that, but a lot of people met that with criticism. Mark Knutson, author of The Inside Pitch, former Major League pitcher. He got the first step of getting one right. He's our CRP 4x4 VIP guest. Mark, last week you said that Jim Harbaugh might be the next coach of the Denver Broncos. We saw the article come out yesterday saying that he'd be willing to come back to the NFL.
Well, you know, criticism? What do you mean criticism? I'm not familiar with that term.
Not at all.
Not at all. I threw it out there because, everybody wants to make – I mean, you can certainly make a case that there should be a change at head coach right now. You can make that case. I don't believe that because of Joe Ellis. I think who does the hiring system is important and has proven over the last decade to be the case. Joe Ellis was the one who fired Mike Shanahan. It wasn't Pat Bowlen. It was Joe Ellis, okay? When John Elway was brought into the – Joe Ellis hired Josh McDaniels. John Elway was given autonomy over the football by Pat Bowlen. He hired John Fox. He hired Gary Kubiak. Then Elway starts to fade, and they bring in Vance Joseph and Vic Fangio. I don't want Joe Ellis or anybody making this hire. I just don't because I don't trust them. Now, if Jim Harbaugh fell in their lap, great. That would be wonderful. I think you want somebody with a pedigree like Jim Harbaugh has. Nobody else has been to the college football final playoffs and the Super Bowl as head coach. You know, Pete Carroll won them both, but he didn't, he's employed already. So he just fits the parameters of somebody I would want. Dan Quinn has been tossed around. Okay, how is Dan Quinn much different than Vic Fangio, to be honest with you? Is there another Sean McVay or another Kyle Shanahan out there? I don't know. Maybe there is. But Harbaugh checks all the boxes for me. And I heard a lot of criticism yesterday of him on the radio. Oh, he's just trying to do this to get a new contract in Michigan. Well, if you say that, then you haven't read up on what's going on with Jim Harbaugh recently. He took a pay cut last year to stay at Michigan, and this year he was given a bonus for making the Big Ten. He gave it back to the university and said, disperse this to the employees who were impacted by COVID. So, honestly, Jim Harbaugh's not about money. He's not a money guy. He's got money. He wants to coach football, and I think he'd be a good fit here in Denver. However, if Jim Harbaugh, as he announced yesterday, wants to come back to the NFL, there's going to be competition for his services. The Raiders, obviously, are going to be in the mix, right? They need a head coach. There's going to be attractive jobs out there with a franchise quarterback in place already, like David Carr. Maybe the Broncos can't compete for Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah, it's an interesting look at it. I think that's a hire that people would get behind. Does the fact that George Payton going to have a little bit of say this? It's not just all Joe Ellis. Do you think that has any sort of effect on it?
That's what you hope. You hope it can be a George Payton. I mean, he's only been on the year for a job on the job for 1 year, but he's done a good job to this point, right? We're all happy with George Payton. He inherited Vic Fangio. He inherited his coaching staff. What he has his fingerprints on is the draft, and that's looking pretty good right now. So I think I would be happy if they say, okay, this is just going to be a George Payton hire. Okay, I guess I could live with that. But knowing how Joe Ellis has been in the past, Joe Ellis is the opposite of Pat Bowlen in that Joe Ellis is a money first guy. He's about the money, not about the football team. He wants to do both, but he wants to do it on a budget. And Pat Bowlen spared no expense. Joe Ellis spares every expense. So I don't even know if Joe Ellis would allow a general manager like George Payton to spend what he would have to spend to get Jim Harbaugh or something like that here. That's my concern.
I think Dick Monfort might have a job opening for Joe Ellis. I think that might be a match made in heaven.
Yeah, you could be exactly right. You could be absolutely right.
Well, and so Jim Harbaugh tossed out there. But I think it's pretty clear in a very muddy future for the Denver Broncos, a new coaching staff is very desperately needed, and a new quarterback is desperately needed. And with rumors swirling of Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers, what would a hire of Jim Harbaugh do?
I'm not so sure you could hire a new coach before you had one of those guys, right? If you could get Russell Wilson or Aaron Rodgers in place, then that makes an attractive job for Jim Harbaugh. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is already playing for a guy who's going to be the coach of the year, Matt LaFleur. I don't think Aaron Rodgers is leaving Green Bay, personally. I don't know. Why would you? Why are you going to leave the best team in the league? It makes no sense. The guy's an icon where he's at, can do what he pleases, say what he pleases, obviously, and he's in a perfect situation. Why would he possibly want to leave there? Russell Wilson, on the other hand, might be looking for a change of scenery. He might be somebody that you could get here as a stopgap. His best years are behind him. You're looking at a stopgap, a guy that you might bring him in and draft a quarterback to groom and bring along. And maybe you've got something for the future as well. But I'm not so sure what order those two things happen in, because if you're going to hire an established name coach, he's probably going to want an established quarterback in place before he takes the job.
Well, and in the same front, can you get one of those quarterbacks to come if they've got the current coaching staff in place?
Very, very strong point. That's why, go back to what you just said about a muddy future. That's exactly what it is. That's the perfect word for it. It is muddy. And the sooner they can get this rectified with the ownership, the better. But I guess in lieu of that, what you said about George Payton taking a leading role would be the next best thing to getting a new owner. If Joe Ellis says, I'm out of here in March, I'm not going to be involved in this. John Elway's retiring. We're not involved in this. George Payton, it's your game. You take care of it. I think Bronco fans would accept that.
Yeah, I think Broncos fans would be ecstatic about that. Yeah. And it's interesting because you look across the AFC West, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Lock not going to be the answer.
No, absolutely not. I mean, they're both – Teddy Bridgewater is Gary Kubiak 2.0. He's the quintessential backup quarterback. A guy who's not going to get you beat, but he's not going to win you games. He's just going to be a guy, a filling guy. Drew Lock, I have no idea what his future is. He's played better the last couple of weeks, except for scoring points. But again, he's got a COVID-decimated team. You know, this week he's going to get to play four downs, right? He's going to play four downs every series regardless, because they don't have a punter or a kicker. So he's obviously been handicapped a little bit. But you've seen more out of the wide receivers with Drew Lock than you did with Teddy Bridgewater. But, yeah, long-term, if you look at Drew Lock, is he in the same category with those other three guys in our division? No, he's not, clearly. So you got to find somebody. And, again, I was in the press box when Nevada played Colorado State, and I watched Carson Strong play, and I watched George Payton sitting 20 feet to my right with his eyes glued on Carson Strong the entire time. He even watched Carson Strong walk off the field at halftime just to make sure he wasn't injured. And he intently stood about 5 feet from me staring at Carson Strong walking off the field. So I know the Broncos are interested in Carson Strong. How much interest, I don't know. But they've got to draft, for the first time in their history, find a quarterback in the draft. They've never done it. They've never found a long-term answer quarterback in the draft. And they've got to do that if they're going to ultimately be successful with those other three teams you mentioned, who all signed got those quarterbacks out of the draft.
Well, and as we continue this conversation here with Mark Knutson, our CRP 4x4 VIP guest, you know, the Broncos have a little bit of a history of not wanting to draft out of the Mountain West. We saw him pass on Josh Allen, and that's turned around to bite him.
Yeah, that was weird because John Elway spent a lot of time watching Josh Allen. He went to his bowl game practices. He spent a lot of time, you know, he's right up the street. You can go watch him in Laramie. All indicators were that the Broncos were very interested in Josh Allen. And then I'm going to say this right now, they whiffed on Bradley Chubb. I'm sorry, people love Bradley Chubb. Has not turned out to be a good draft pick.
No, not for as high as they drafted him.
Right.
If he's a second-round pick, you're happy with him. At number five, you're not.
I don't know about happy. I mean, the guy hasn't played, and the best ability is availability. And you're too young to remember Mike Kroll, outside linebacker, pass rush guy they drafted in Nebraska back in the 90s, who had a bang-up rookie, all first-team all-rookie team, great season as a rookie, vanished off the face of the earth after that, just completely vanished. And that's Bradley Chubb. He's Mike Cole 2.0. He hasn't done anything here to warrant that draft pick, and they passed on Josh Allen, and they passed on Quentin Nelson, an all-pro guard, who's an all-pro, not Pro Bowl, all-pro as a rookie. at a position the Broncos desperately needed help at, offensive guard, and they passed on him too. So, no, their drafting under the Elway regime was not good, and it's a head scratcher why they passed on a guy like Josh Allen. But I hope they don't look at a guy and say, "Oh, Mountain West didn't play any good competition." That's not what it's about. Where are the best quarterbacks coming from these days? Where'd Ben Roethlisberger go to school? Miami of Ohio.
Right. You know,
Carson Wentz went to North Dakota State. The best, the most prolific college teams are running the RPOs. You know, they're running, their quarterbacks are running guys, dual threat guys, not necessarily NFL guys. So you're not getting your best quarterbacks just out of the Power Five schools anymore. I hope that Jay Norvell's track record is such that the Broncos will look at him and say, "I don't care what league he played in, this guy knows how to play football, and you know, he could do some good things for us."
Well, I need to check myself there too. Is Brett Rypien is on the team right now as a third string, and he did play in the Mountain West, so it hasn't always entirely been like that.
Well, but I mean, Brett Rypien wasn't a high draft pick either, right? He was
right.
A throw-in guy at the end of the year, and you know, some of us like to see him play a little bit more and see what he can do. But and maybe he'll get to on Saturday. But nonetheless, I think when you're talking about high-profile draft picks, just making a sexy pick is not necessarily the right pick all the time, and it hasn't been for the Broncos. Boy, they've got to hit on a quarterback. They just have to. I mean, and they have to keep drafting quarterbacks year after year after year until they finally get on one.
I've always been interested in this, Mark. I want to know what your take is. Does a guy like George Payton and Vic Fangio, do they listen to the outside noise of what these fans are wanting? And I would have to assume that on Saturday, it's not going to be a great crowd in attendance.
Attendance speaks volumes. If you're talking about listening to noise, that's the noise. It's the silent noise, but it's the no-shows, right? The no-shows say a lot to a ownership and a general manager, more so than a coach or players. But people, you know, no butts in the seats is a bad thing for a football team. Apathy is worse than booze. I mean, you'd rather hear the booze than hear silence. So, yes, that does matter to them. That part, they're not worried about Twitter. They're not worried about what you and I are saying on the radio or anything like that. But they are worried about the paying customers not showing up and not being satisfied. And you know, they know their heads are not in the sand. They certainly know that what's gone on this year has not worked. I mean, you think about it. Yesterday, I was listening, and they're 4-10 in their last 14 games against one of the weaker schedules in the NFL. And granted, one of those wins was over Dallas, shockingly. One was over the Chargers, shockingly. But losses to Philadelphia and stuff like that, and it just, yeah, it's been a very, I mean, it's been a better season than previous seasons, but that's not, that bar is set very low anyway. So I'm not sure that you can look at this season as a success in any fashion.
No, I don't think it is. I don't see any way that you can term any of what's happened for the Broncos a success. Saturday, Chiefs, Broncos, I think the spread's like 10. The Broncos are 10-point dogs. Do you see them being competitive in this?
Well, it's one of those, the Chiefs need to win to secure home field, so you're going to see the Chiefs play their starters and all that. But the idea that the Broncos don't have a kicker or a punter should be enough for the national media just to pay attention, right? Are you going to play a game without it? I mean, obviously they've got to have somebody on the roster that can kick, right? Some practice squad or something. They're going to have somebody, but I'm reading that they're not going to punt and they're going to go for two every time. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine a Vic Fangio team not trying field goals. That's what they're best at. but it'll be fun to watch it. But I'll ask you this: Are you happy that there's a 17th regular season game?
No,
I kind of feel like it's over.
I'm ready for the misery to be done.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling like that 16 regular game. They should have left it at 16 games. I just how it feels. It feels like it should be playoff time right now, but certainly not for the Broncos.
No, it's not. And yeah, just add one more loss on the total, I guess. I don't know, Manny. I am so tired of non-competitive Denver Broncos teams. But, Mark, we're in Broncos country. I know they get a lot of the headlines. We still got two really good teams playing at Ball Arena.
We sure do. And, you know, again, I said this last week, Nikola Jokic is on pace to have the greatest statistical season in NBA history. Let that sink in a little bit. NBA history, the greatest statistical season in NBA history, and he's not even getting a sniff for MVP. He's not going to get a sniff for it. It's already been given to Steph Curry or Kevin Durant. And Giannis is in that mix, and Ja Morant's in that mix. I mean, there's just all sorts of guys who are going to finish ahead of hell, I wouldn't be shocked if Kyrie Irving finishes ahead of Nikola Jokic in the voting. That's how poorly respected he is. But he is a joy to watch. And if he just had some help, and I don't know if we can count on Jamal Murray this year or not, I'd still like to see the Nuggets. They pulled off a great trade last year getting Aaron Gordon. I'd like to see another one of those. give this team a fighting chance in the playoffs, because Michael Porter is not going to be helping you in the playoffs. I'd like to see him get a fighting chance, but we'll see. The Avs have more than a fighting chance. The Avs, again, have navigated this COVID shutdown pretty well based on the last few games, right? They're playing really good hockey. Now they've got that other shutdown, the Olympic shutdown coming up. Who knows what else will happen with COVID? So a lot of landmines for them to navigate. But, and we said it last year. We both picked them to win it last year. There's no reason not to pick them to win it now, but you know, who knows what will happen.
Did you see Cale Makar's goal last night in overtime?
That was sensational. That was absolutely just the move to even start the other direction and spin around and go back to the guy. I mean, that was just remarkable. That guy is just a remarkable talent, and we're just fortunate to have him here. We got a lot of guys like that. I mean, you know, and Nathan MacKinnon, he's been better lately, but he hasn't even had a good year.
Yeah.
He's not even their best player.
I'm not a big hockey guy, but watching that last, I couldn't help but marvel at that move made by Cale Makar.
Figure skaters don't make that move, right? They do spins in the air. They don't make that move. That was just incredible. And to score like that, and there was no place for the puck to go, and he got it in there somehow. You know, he's really, really talented. And they have a lot of those guys on this team. And when they put it together, they're really tough to beat. It's a head-scratcher what happened to him last year.
Yeah, it certainly is.
We can hope that doesn't happen again, because they deserve a parade.
They absolutely do. Talking with Mark Knutson, author of The Inside Pitch. Mark, what'd you write about in The Inside Pitch this week?
Well, you know, when the calendar turns, it's baseball season around here, right? Colleges are amping up. College players are amping up. 6 weeks from the UNC Bears opener. 6 weeks till the UNC Bears play a real baseball game. In California, obviously. But the crux of the article is about the sluggishness with which local college and high school programs are adapting to putting artificial turf on their baseball fields. You see a lot of artificial turf football fields on high school campuses now, but you don't see baseball. And it's really hard. Trust me, I'm a high school coach. It's really hard to play baseball here in March and April on dirt and grass fields, because you have to wait for snow to melt and dry and blah, 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 and you get games backed up. It just makes economic sense, because you save money on water and maintenance. It makes all sense in the world for high schools and colleges. Some colleges have already. UNC or Metro has. UCCS has. Colorado Christian has. UNC has not yet. It makes sense for these guys to start putting turf fields down so we can play baseball in the spring.
Well, I think that's a whole other conversation, too, but I think a good point would be to could we talk about moving the baseball season into the fall? I mean, that's the weather's been way nicer in that area.
Well, last year we moved it into May. We didn't start till the end of April last year.
Right.
And we didn't have any disruptions with the weather. But it was compacted. It was tight. And the summer programs are going to fight you on that. The club programs are going to fight you on that. They do play softball in the spring already. And you got football. A school like mine, where we have very small, it's a very small school, but we don't have a lot of athletes. A lot of them play both football and baseball. You couldn't do that if you played in the fall. So I'm an advocate for pushing it back a little bit, starting in April or late mid-April, May sometime. Late April sounds right to me. And get rid, not even try to play baseball in March around here, but that's not how Chassa does it. So,
yeah, no, I like it, Mark. Hey, are you going to be coming up to the Friends of Baseball event coming up later this month?
I'm going to definitely try to be there for that. I haven't been to one in a long time. I need to be there for that.
I'll be emceeing too, so it'll be a familiar face.
Well, then it'll be great.
There you go. It's got to be great. Right. You get a donut and you get to hear me talk more.
What's the date on? What's it? February? Early February?
Late January. January 29th, okay. I think.
All right. Well, send me the info. I'll have to get there.
All right. I like it. Mark Knutson, thanks so much, man.
Bye.
That's Mark Knutson there, author of The Inside Pitch, former major league pitcher as well. I love the insight. Love the insight from him. Hey, Method Flow Products, they're an advocate for the oil and gas industry. Like I said, money makes the world go round, and there's no better money here in Northern Colorado for everybody than when the oil and gas industry is booming in a safe and responsible way. The products that Method Flow Products put out there ensures that happens. It's Method Flow Products in Eaton, Matt Beeman and Company. 10:51 the time. Let's get a break. We'll come back, get the headline that caught our eye, wrap up this edition of NoCo Now next on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFK. Well, this coming in right about now. It's not been confirmed yet. Not been confirmed yet, but it doesn't sound like Matt Nagy will be returning as the Chicago Bears head coach in the upcoming year. All right, 10:54, let's get to the headline that caught our eye.
Got an interesting one here. A pair of California twins born with different birthdays and different birth years.
What?
Yeah, so this pair of twins born in Salinas, California. First one was born at 11:45 on December 31st.
Oh.
And the twin was born several minutes later at midnight on January 1st, 2022.
That's such a misleading headline. I hate it and I love it all at once. I hate it and I love it all at once. That is going to be a mind bender for those two to be telling everybody for the rest of their lives. You know they're going to say, what year were you? Oh, you're twins. What year were you born? 2021. What year were you born? 2022.
Like, yeah, that's the thing with twins. Like, when you're born first, you get like that, oh, I have the bragging rights, I guess.
I guess.
You're born a whole year before you're a twin. Like,
right.
And then, like, for the parents, I can't imagine you got Christmas, and then a week later you got two birthdays.
Yeah, that sucks. They should have planned that out better. But, okay, this might get me in hot water, too. Twins creep me out. Do they creep you out at all? It's weird, especially identical twins. You just see two of them. Wait a second. No, that's not how that's supposed to look.
I've never personally met a pair of twins before. Me and my younger sister, we're not, like, identical twins, but we do share a lot of features.
Oh, okay. Are you twins?
No.
Oh, okay.
We're 18 months apart, but we still look very similar.
I thought that I just put my foot in my mouth and you were a twin.
No. I've never met a pair of twins.
Identical twins are weird. What was that, American Horror Story? Wasn't there a pair of twins in that were just creepy? It just doesn't make any sense to me how you can look exactly alike like that. My mind can't comprehend it.
Actually, I have met a pair of twins in a couple journalism classes.
Yeah.
And I never could tell them apart.
Were they creepy?
No,
were they identical?
Really nice. Yeah. But I couldn't tell them apart. I knew their names, but I didn't know, like,
which one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got that before. Hey, bud. You just go, hey, pal, what's going on? You don't know.
Usually the names are kind of similar. They'll start with the same letter like that.
It's like Josh and James.
Yeah.
Those parents got to do it. Come on now.
Do better.
Do better than that. Give us at least some distinguishing marks.
What are your thoughts on triplets?
No, don't even get me started.
I have met a pair of triplets before. It was like, it was two boys and a girl.
Can there be identical triplets?
Yes, the two boys looked similar, and the girl looked kind of similar, but obviously not. But
right.
Very interesting.
Science, right?
Biology.
And it's crazy. Genetics, how it all works. So if you're a twin, I didn't have a plethora of twins listening to the show that hate me now. It's nothing against you. I just don't. It's really me being dumb and not wanting to take the time to understand why something like that happens. So it's on me. I'll own it, but it's still creepy. That's the show for today. What do you think on Tanner's take and the accessories of the hair and flare poll question? What's the reason for the great resignation? This is going to be something that continues on to 2021 for sure. Let's find the answer for it. I go unwillingness to work. What say you? Thanks to Robin Varlman, Chad Young, and Mark Knutson, our CRP 4x4 VIP guests. Tomorrow, we will have Miles Blumhardt with the Coloradoan, as well as Steve Smiley, the head coach for the UNC Bears. It's going to be a fun one tomorrow. Until then, follow us along on social media, Twitter at Tanner Schwint, Facebook at NoCo Now. For Angel Padilla, I'm Tanner Schwint. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on NoCo Now, presented by the J9 Agencies. See you.